So she's gonna pray for me first, and then
we practice this. Remember, we practice this. Actually, I have a scripture before I pray him in. It's in Matthew 7:7. To 11. And it says, I am in the Passion Translation. It says, ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Do you know of any parent who would give his hungry child who asks for food a plate of rocks instead? Not us. Or when asked for a piece of fish, what parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? So the reason why I picked this scripture is because we went walking on our afternoon walks, and I told my husband I had a revelation of this. The knocking on the door. When you knock, the Lord going to answer. When you seek, you'll find him. When you ask, you shall receive. So what I asked my husband, I said, you know that God said, we got to do our part. He's not going to just open the door. But because tonight we have an opportunity, I mean, if there's time, an altar call, whatever. The Lord said, tell your brothers and sisters that you got to do their part. If you stand up from your seat, walk down this aisle, and ask, knock on the door, you're doing something that God going to work with. Now you're going to walk through that door, and now you're going to seek him. Where are you, Lord? Because I have this that I want to give to you, and I want this prayer to be answered. I need healing. I need a financial breakthrough. I need my marriage to be healed. And the seeking is that part. And then when you ask, you're going to get. Because the first thing he said is you got to do your part. And that's to stand up from your chair, come down, and receive what you're seeking out. I don't know what you're seeking out, but this is what I got. But it has to be in an orderly fashion because, no. You know, we practiced this. We wasn't supposed to talk until after. You're supposed to let me talk. So, almost bow. So we're going to start a line this way. My husband's going to stand that side. I'm going to stand that side. And all you're going to do is knock on the door. And come, fill this place. You're going to do the seeking, and you're going to do the asking. All we're going to do is help you come through that door. But thank you, honey. I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and that you will bring strength and nourishment to each and every one of us here, to the word, whatever you have in store. I don't know what that is, but you know what I did. No, I'm going to find out what you do. Love you, honey.
Thank you. Shucks. I thought I was going to get away with it already. Oh, but what I want to thank everybody. Wow, this is like more than Sunday. Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to thank everybody. You know, I'm going to say this. What new guys, well, you know, first timers come, that I would never thought that I would be in the front here speaking, you know. But I do take honor the privilege that the Lord would allow this to happen. I mean, He knows me, I know myself, but then yet God still allows that to happen. So I want to thank God for that. I give Him all the glory and honor. Amen. Because I am nervous, but that's okay. It's okay to be nervous. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says that my God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. In fact, I think about, when God created Adam, He took a piece of dirt, yeah? He formed it, make him all nice, all handsome, maybe muscles, you know, a man's man, yeah? Yeah? But he was dead. He was just a man, you know, until God breathed the breath of life in him. And He says that he became a living soul. Wow. So same like us, you know, before Christ. I would say we were walking dead. Right? We were just walking dead, you know. Life wasn't in us. But you know what? When God put His spirit in Adam, there was no fear in there. There was love. There was power. There's a sound mind. So when I got born again, there was no fear in my spirit. Maybe in my body, you know. So tonight, if you see me shaking, if you see my words choke up, that is just the flesh. Okay? That is not my spirit. Amen. Oh, glory. Anyway, let me tell you one more story. I was reading a book one day. It's about speaking in tongue. And his name, I don't know if you heard of him, is Dave Robertson. But anyway, before he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, he said he prepared his message, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours, you know, pages after pages. And then when, you know, he go and he start preaching, and then he read and read and read, and by the time he's finished, he look, it's only 10 minutes. It's only 10 minutes for all these hours, all our labors. So tonight, I hope I can beat him. Maybe I can do 15 minutes. Oh, boy. Okay. Bernard, I don't have any title. But I thought that since I've been, you know, coming here for 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. You see me in and out, you know, but you never really know me as much. So I think I'm going to share a testimony of myself, if that's all right with you guys. Yeah. So... okay, me and my family, my mom, Lag, and Mary, we came here in 1972. Oh, that's way back. So you do the math, how old I am. but prior to that, Priscilla, Lena, and Adonis, which is Beth's husband, and Hector, well, they came 1 year before us. Because they got adopted, yeah? And so my grandparents, they adopted them, and then to follow, which their children, which is my mom and all her siblings. Yeah. And we were supposed to come last, yeah, like we were supposed to come last. Because my mom was the oldest. Your mom was here already, yeah, Berna. But a tragedy happened. My dad died suddenly. So what happened now is instead of us coming last, we came first of all the siblings. You know, it reminds me of in Romans, says that God, you know, that the bad things that happen to you, yeah, well, he turned that negative into a positive. Yeah. He turned that negative. See, we were supposed to come last, but, you know, out of that, you know, God turned that around and we came first. And that's why, that's the reason why that we came. Yeah. So, praise God. You know, whatever that you going through or went through, God went turn that thing around, man, because you are still here. Yeah? You are still here. You know, you're still serving the Lord. I know we go through a lot of trials, tribulations, but hey, who doesn't? Right? Who doesn't? We all go through that. But the thing is, we keep going. Yeah? We still run the race, no matter what. We get up. Yeah? Okay, so where was? Yeah. So when we came in 1972, I think my mom was just in her 40s or maybe 39. So she was still young. Yeah. And you know what? She could have got married because some old people, you know, was trying to marry her. But you know what? My mom, she's very unselfish, man. She loves us. You know, she was concerned that if she does get married, and then maybe this person might not want us. So she decided, you know what? I'm not gonna marry. I want to take care of my kids. Yeah. So I praise God for my mom, you know. And you know what? She was the only one. I mean, without a father, she took care of us, you know. And I think we came out pretty good. Came out pretty good, yeah. You know, growing up with my two sisters, because Priscilla was already here. Oh, by the way, you know, Priscilla is my sister. Those of you that don't know, Lag is my sister, and Mary is my sister. Lena is my auntie, and Berna is my cousin, and Beth is my cousin, and you know, all those people in there is all my family. So all Priscilla's family is my family. All Lena's family is my family. So pretty much, this is where we flock. This is where we flock, right here. So yeah, growing up with my sisters was, you know, being that the only male in a house. I mean, I too played a role as a father. You know, when Lag graduated, she left us, so only get Mary and my mom. So I took care of Mary. You know, I don't know how many cars I bought for her. I mean, 3 or 4 cars, I think. But not brand new. It's a used, but not the kind that will break. I mean, it's good. It's good. Then I went to my high school. And then that's where I met my future wife, my beautiful wife here. We was in track. I was a sophomore, she was a freshman. And the first time I noticed her, I think we was going to we went to Honolulu. We was in a bus. Yeah. Going to I think it was Radford. And then I hear this loud person. I mean, really loud. I look and I go, oh, that chick. And that's when I first laid eyes on her, you know. And then, of course, I told my friend, guys, and then, but I didn't want to tell her because I was shy, very shy. So, I just mentioned it to my friend, and my friend, we go to her, and you know what? That guy over there, I think he's interested in you. And she looked. Oh, she didn't really cannot see me that close, but man, Filipinos, no can. I mean, that doesn't mean she doesn't like Filipinos. She doesn't want to get involved with Filipino. But then I guess once she saw me, the rest is history. Anyway, moving right along. So, we've been together since she was a freshman and I was a sophomore. Yeah. How's that on hold? Yeah. Wow. But, yeah, praise God, you know. So we got married. I went to the military, and she was still in senior, yeah. And I went to the military, then came back, and then not too long after that we got married. We got Janessa, and then when I was in 28 years old, that's when I got saved. 28 years, the devil had me. I walked with the devil for 28 years. But praise God, his grace. Oh. You know, when I was in Philippines, yeah, my we used to call her Apu, yeah? Apu Tunai, which is like a grandma. It was my grandma's sister. Well, she used to take me to this church, Episcopal church, yeah. And every Sunday, and although I didn't have no relationship with the Lord, I just had a form of, you know. Well, I had a fear of God in me, yeah. That's how I learned, you know, that there was a God. And then when I came to Hawaii, in my teen years, when I used to mess up, and there was no way out, I used to do a Gideon thing, which I used to put a fleece on that. God, if you deliver me from this, then I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah? And you know what? God honors that. You know, although I didn't have a personal relationship with him, but God honors that because I trusted him that, you know, and I guess he trusted me too because he says my heart that if I said it, you know what, if you deliver me from this, then I'm not going to do this. Same thing with you guys, you know. You know, if you are honest with God and if you're going through some, I don't know, whatever you're going through, he will deliver you. Yeah. Even now, because you're in covenant with him, even more so, you're his child. He's your father. You know, it is the spirit, yeah, that causes us to call him Abba Father. Abba Father. That's what in Romans 8, I think, yeah. That the spirit of adoption, yeah. You know, a father, you know, Abba is like a daddy. Daddy, father. You know, daddy, you know, there's a, actually there's a, like a difference between a daddy and a father to me. You know, being a daddy is, you know what, I will love you no matter what. I love you, you know. I take care of you. You need stuff. Okay, here it is, you know, I take care of you. You know, you need to go somewhere, I'll take you. You know, I'll meet your needs. But to a father, that's where I draw the line, okay? Father being a priest, you know, being, I set the, there's a boundary that you cannot, you know, I instill, should I say a law or something? Should I say a law? You know, there's law in my house that you gotta follow. You know, that is being a father, to raise them up in a way that they should go, yeah? So that when they grow old, they will not depart from it, yeah? So it's, even it's in, you know, in my kids, you know, growing up, I was kind of strict to them, but, you know, not that strict. I mean, Peter, he's a sport guy. I mean, he loved baseball before and used to play baseball, but you know what? Sundays, no baseball. Church. That was the kind that I instilled in my kids, that God first. Baseball after, you know. I mean, that was just me. But that's being a father. Yeah, that's being a father. Because, you know, sometimes your kids, they sway. You know, they go to the left, to the right. But the seed is inside them, you know. I mean, I can pray on that seed to let it grow. Yeah. I pray for that seed to grow. I water it. And until it has, you know, until you can see the fruit start coming. Yeah. Start to grow. They will not depart from it. Because what you have instilled in them. So that, you know, that should encourage you, parents, you know, no matter what. So, yeah. No 10 minutes yet? Oh. So, yeah, so what, 28 years old, I got saved. Well, it started, okay, this is how it started. I think we went to your mother's house. See, we was partying out, okay? We was partying. I wasn't drunk, but we got home, and then I went to use the bathroom, and all of a sudden, my wife, them, my mom, they heard kaboom. And they saw me on the ground. I guess when it hit the tub. Yeah. And I didn't know what happened. I just didn't pass out. I just, you know, just used it in the bathroom. And then all of a sudden, I guess I just went kaboom. And then I was in this like a trance. A real dark, dark, dark place. Yeah, I couldn't see. Nothing, it's all dark. Then I hear this very, very, very slight voice calling, Julia. I'd be real faint, but I could hear him. Julia. And then it gets louder and louder and louder. And then when I got up, that was my mom. And then I go, what happened? Oh, you fall down. So they rushed me to the hospital. They rushed me to the hospital, and they checked me out, but they couldn't find nothing wrong. Nothing. I mean, I know, but my heart was racing. I mean, it's like 300 miles an hour. I was going, That's how it felt was. But they used a treadmill. I used a treadmill and everything, and they couldn't find any wrong with me. I even tell my wife, honey, if I die, I give you permission. You can marry somebody else. And I was dead serious. I was serious because I thought I was going to die. But you know what? God was working on me already. God is working on me already. And then I don't know how we came to church, but we ended up coming to church. And then when they had the altar call, me and my wife came. My wife had Auntie Pauline, and I had Brother Clayton. Yeah. And then we went inside there, and they got saved. Praise God. Praise God. You know, God has been so good to me, you know, through ups and downs, you know. He's been so faithful, even though when I'm not faithful at times, you know, he is always faithful. Yeah. Amen. So, anyway, wow. I read all my notes already. But anyway, I mean, if you receive something tonight, even if just one word, and it is all worth it tonight, that, you know, yeah. And in fact, I feel that, you know, maybe some of you had strayed from the Lord. And maybe some of you has not received the Lord yet. Tonight is your night. You know, tonight is your night. I mean, God's presence is here. I'm shaking, but it's not because I'm nervous. I think it's the presence of God. You know. But, you know, if you're going through some stuff and you need prayers, whatever it is, and we're available to pray for you guys. And if you need, you know, to come back to the Lord, hey, just come in the front. We'll pray with you guys. You know, my family or whoever. You know, in fact, this is just family tonight. This is just family.